Good morning, church. So good to see you today. If you're visiting today, welcome to Open Door. It means a lot that you're here. This year, we're surveying the entire Bible. Each week, a different book of the Bible. We're in Galatians this week, making our way to the end. We're going to be talking about blessings and curses. So how many of you came today to get a blessing from the Lord? How many of you came here today to be cursed? Raise your hand. Anybody? Now, if we're going to get this right, this is what you need to know. Blessings follow obedience. Curses follow disobedience. Right? Let me say that again. Blessings follow obedience. Curses follow disobedience. We want blessings. We want to be blessed. It's a political season, and, you know, it's like politicians become religious during this time of the year. And you're going to hear them say, God bless America. And that always frustrates me to no end. Not that I don't want for America to be blessed. It's just I know that blessings follow obedience. So what I really want the politician to say, if I can find an honest one, God bless us if we obey you. And God curse us if we disobey you. That would actually be appropriate. But I don't think I'm going to find that particular politician. Blessings follow obedience. Curses follow disobedience. How does God respond to your disobedience? Have you thought about that? What does God do with all of our disobedience? The book of Galatians helps us because it tells us that Christ came and he died on a cross in order to become a curse for us. Christ became our cursed redeemer in order to remove the curse of our sin and to set us free so that we could live a life of obedience. And it's a profound thing as we contemplate, why did Christ have to become a curse? Well, to redeem us. I mean, the whole Bible really is a story of our quest for redemption. And in every book of the Bible that we've been studying, we're finding how Christ is at the center of that story. Christ is redeeming us. And now as we've been making our way through the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, we're seeing what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. And in the book of Romans, we saw Christ as our righteous justifier. And last week in the Corinthian letters, we saw Christ as our merciful reconciler. And today, I'm going to tell you that in Galatians, we're going to see Christ as our curse. Our cursed redeemer. And it's just awkward for me even to say that because it's hard for me to consider Christ as being cursed. But if he wasn't, we would not be redeemed. I want you to think about it this way. As you contemplate the cross of Christ and start to think about all the things that God accomplished through Christ dying on the cross. It's sort of like gazing into a glorious, multifaceted diamond. Every time you turn it, there's this beautiful reflection of something else. And as we contemplate the cross, we just see all of these different ways that Christ has accomplished our redemption. And the Bible talks about these in certain metaphors, like on the cross, Christ became our victor, and he crushed the head of Satan on the cross. And on the cross, Christ, he became that spotless lamb who was laid upon that altar of sacrifice. On the cross, Christ became our high priest, but rather than offering the blood of a goat or a bull, he offered his own blood. On the cross, Christ became a good shepherd. Because a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And then on the cross, on the Christ, he became our kinsman redeemer. He actually purchased his bride. He purchased us out of the slave market of sin by his own blood. On the cross, Christ became our suffering Savior. He diverted the wrath of God by the offering of himself. And all of these beautiful manifestations of what God accomplished through Christ on the cross. Well, today, what I want to focus on is how on the cross, Christ became a curse. A curse for you. Now, another way to look at the story of the Bible would be to see how throughout the entirety of the Bible, there has been this desire for God to bless obedience and curse disobedience. It's found throughout the Bible. So in the beginning, God made everything. And he made everything, and he declared it to be good, and he blessed creation. Specifically, he blessed Adam and Eve. And he said, I bless you, and I want you to fill the earth with people, be fruitful, and multiply. He blessed the earth because that's what God desires. He desires to bless his people. But then God said, but I need you to obey. So there's just one thing I want you to do. Just don't eat the fruit of that certain tree. That's it. Just don't do that. Just obey me. And Adam and Eve failed in the one thing. They disobeyed. Blessings follow disobedience, and curses follow disobedience. And so because of their disobedience, God had to. He's a good God. He's a just God. God had to curse his good creation. And he did it. He cursed everything. He cursed the world. So from that moment on, the world began to experience decay and death. Every day you wake up, you need to understand that the world in which we live is suffering from the curse of sin. Every day this earth is being strangled by sin's corruption, struggling to breathe. The book of Romans 8 says that the earth groans for its redemption because it suffers from corruption. And Adam, he was cursed. Eve was cursed. And their posterity, every child from Adam and Eve, we are all born experiencing the curse of sin. We all experience corruption. We all experience decay. We all will experience death. And yet, God had this desire to still provide blessings. And so what he did is he called out a man named Abram. And he said to Abram, he says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless everybody who is identified with you, and eventually there's going to be a whole world of children that belong to you, Abram, and I'm going to bless them. And he made a promise with Abraham. And it was a covenant blessing. And then from Abraham, there became this whole nation of people that we call Israel. And Israel was suffering under the curse of sin. For 400 years, it experienced slavery. And God provided a redeemer named Moses who was able to lead them out of slavery and provide for them freedom. And then Moses met God on a mountain, and God gave Moses the law. And the purpose of the law was so that the people would be holy like God is. And the people would know what it meant to love God and to love their neighbor. And there's all kinds of stipulations in the law, but at the very end, We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the very end of the books of the law. As the children of Israel were getting ready to enter into the promised land, Moses said to Israel, all right, I need for you all to agree with God that he wants to bless you if you obey him. But I also need for you to agree with God that he will curse you if you disobey him. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. And this is what Israel, they agreed to. God wanted to bless them. Here's what it says. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Remember, blessings follow obedience. All of these blessings, what are these blessings? Well, the Lord said, I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the country. I will bless the mothers by the fruit of their wombs. I'll bless your crops. I'll bless your livestock. I'll give you cows. I'll give you sheep. I'll bless you with food. You'll have an abundance of food in your homes. Your baskets and your kneading troughs will be blessed. I'll bless you wherever you go. I'll bless you when you come in. I'll bless you when you leave. It'll be blessing after blessing after blessing. Because that's God's desire. He really wants to bless his people. I remember a few months ago, I was just thinking about this. Kay and I were, I don't know what we were doing, but we needed to come to the church early. It was a Saturday morning when we had the old building. And as we're making our way to my office, there's a sweet little older lady, and she's sitting on the gazebo. She's just sitting there by herself. And so we approached her, and I said, good morning. I said, how are you? She said, fine. And I said, well, what brings you to our church today? And she looked at me, and she says, I want a blessing. And what I think she meant by that was, I'm waiting for the food pantry to open. But I just love the way she said it. She said, I'm here for a blessing. And so I said, well, what kind of blessing do you want? And she looked at me dead in the eye, and she goes, all kinds. What kind of blessing do you want? I want all kinds. The promise in Deuteronomy 28 was, hey, you obey me, I'll give you all kinds of blessings. I'll bless your family. I'll bless your work. I'll bless your life. I'll bless your welfare. I'll bless you wherever you go. I'll just bless you and bless you and bless you. However, if we continue on in Deuteronomy 28, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God, and if you do not carefully follow, now the next word is very important. What's that word? Everybody say it. All. That's a small word, but this is really important. If you do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, then all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Blessings follow obedience. Curses follow disobedience. And if you disobey even one of my commands, curses will follow. And you'll be cursed in the city. You'll be cursed in the country. The food that you need at home will be cursed. The mother's womb will be cursed. You'll be cursed out in the fields, in your workplace. I'll curse your cows. I'll curse your sheep. I'll curse you when you go in. I'll curse you when you go out. I will curse you, and I will curse you, and I will curse you. And because of the corrupting nature of sin, Israel experienced curses from God rather than blessings. Although God had this incessant desire to bless his people, but he needed to bless those that he considered to be righteous, those who were living obediently. And the rest of the Old Testament is just telling the story of, I want to bless you, but if you're not obedient, if you're unrighteous, I will curse you. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who doesn't sin? How blessed is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't stand in the path of sinners, who doesn't sit in the seat of the scoffers, but rather, how blessed is the one who obeys? How blessed is the one who delights in my law? Because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but now here comes the curses. But the way of the wicked will perish. And we see that. God established kingdoms and kings, but his people didn't obey. And God sent prophets. And then the prophets, they learned this particular way of calling a curse upon the people. The prophets were saying things like, God will curse you. And I know that sounds odd, right? I mean, when do we say that? When do we use the word curse in reference to God? I mean, it's Halloween season. We typically think of witches cursing and casting spells and things like that. But God? Does God actually curse people? And the prophets said yes. And this is the word that they would use when they were about to pronounce a curse. The word was woe. You ever seen that in the Bible? Woe. It's like, woe, I'm about to curse you. Woe. And as the prophets looked at the disobedience of God's people, they would pronounce these curses. Isaiah 3:11, woe to the wicked. Lamentations 5 and 16, Jeremiah said, woe to us because we've sinned. Cursing upon us because we've sinned. The prophets said, God curse us because we're disobedient. And the Old Testament ends with the people of God in silent disobedience, awaiting the Messiah. And then Jesus arrives. And Jesus comes and he begins to reiterate the same message. Blessings will follow obedience and curses will follow disobedience. And Jesus said, my kingdom will be a kingdom where the citizens of it are continually blessed. You will experience countless blessings if you are a part of my kingdom. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, because your reward in heaven will be great. And then he's reiterating just this truth that God really does want to reward his children. He wants to bless us because he's a good father. Now, if you're a parent, I hope you get this. Because if in your home, there should be this system of rewards and punishments. And I know as a parent, I know you desperately want to bless your children. You want to reward them. And that's a good thing because that imitates God. But blessings follow obedience. Rewards follow obedience. Punishment follows disobedience. And if you're a good parent, you've set up this system to provide your children an opportunity to learn something valuable about God. And Jesus said, my kingdom is a kingdom where those who are a part of it will be blessed. blessings upon blessing, and their reward in heaven will be great. But then Jesus looked around and he concluded, nobody cares. Nobody seems to care. As a matter of fact, Jesus was constantly confronted by the religious leaders of the day, and the religious leaders of the day were saying the opposite. They were saying, you know, it's possible for God to declare you righteous by way of the law. I mean, look at us. We're righteous. Just imitate us and you'll be okay. And yet Jesus knew their hearts. He knew how hypocritical that statement was. So what did Jesus say? Woe to you. Cursed be to you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and the respectful greetings in the market. You call yourself righteous? I call that self-righteous. Woe to you. Oh, you scribes, you guys actually copy the scriptures. You think you know it? Woe to you, experts of the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves haven't even entered into it, and you have hindered those who want in. Jesus pronounced a curse upon anyone who thinks that they can be righteous based on their own merit. Because Jesus understood the nature of our sin. And so Jesus realized that he was going to have to die on the cross in order to somehow remove the curse from us. And that's what the letter to the churches of Galatia are all about. So now we're in Galatians. And this is one of the earliest letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote them to a number of churches in the area of southern Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And I will take you to some of these places if you want to come with us in our study tour in the spring. We'll talk about the churches. And Paul wrote this letter because the people were still struggling, trying to figure out, how can I become just in the eyes of God? Because there were those who were saying, well, if you obey the law, just obey it. But how is that possible? How is it possible? And so Paul writes this letter, and I'm sort of going to take you from the end and go backwards, because the summary of Galatians is found in chapter 5, verse 1. Paul said, I'm writing you all of this because I want you to know that it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And you don't have to be under the yoke of the bondage of the law anymore. All right, well, how can we be free when we continually disobey? How can we be free? All right, well then, let's go back to Galatians 4. And in Galatians 4, what we understand is that Christ came at the perfect time in history. And he was born unique. He was born sinless. Didn't have the corrupting stain of sin passed on from Adam. Christ was born of a virgin. So now we have a sinless person who is born under the full weight of the law. The law that crushes us because of our disobedience, but Christ holds it up. And he lives a perfect life. He lived obediently under the law. And yet he went to the cross and died. Not because he needed to pay the price for his sin, but he died to redeem you and I, to pay the price for our sin. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So you're not going to be judged by it because of your disobedience. You're going to be redeemed from it. And rather than God cursing you, he'll adopt you and make you his child. But now, how does that happen? I understand that Christ came to set us free, so I'm not under the bondage of the law. I know Christ came and lived up under the law perfectly. He held it up to redeem me, but exactly how does that work? How does my curse, how is that curse removed? Well, that brings us to Galatians 3, beginning in verse 10. And it is here, my friends, where we are going to see the work of Christ at the very center of this important letter, so that we can make Christ the center of our life. Now, what Paul is going to do is he's going to bring up all of these important Old Testament truths. He's going to bring them back and lay them before us. The first one is what was found back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by," there's that little word again, "all things written in the book of the law to perform them." So Paul says, remember, God gave you the law. And he said, obey it and I'll bless you. But you got to obey all of it, every aspect of it. Impossible. Impossible. So what is the purpose of the law then if it's impossible to obey because of our sin? The purpose of the law is to realize we need someone else to save us. We can't save ourselves. Yes, the law actually demands that we be cursed. The very moment that you're not holy like God is, the very moment that you don't love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the very moment that you do not love your neighbor like you love yourself, you place yourself under the curse of the law. And so verse 11 and 12, Paul says, well, then no one can be justified by the law. Your sin is too great. Your disobedience too evident. You are unrighteous before God, not righteous. Well, how can I become righteous? Well, it's clear, the righteous man shall live by faith. Like Abraham. Abraham believed. God declared him to be righteous, to be just. The righteous are the ones who live by faith in Christ. However, he says the law is not of faith. No, it's the opposite. And he who practices them shall live by them. In other words, what Paul is saying is, you really want to try this? Are you sure? You want to live your whole life and then die and face God. And when God says, why should I let you into heaven? You go, come on, God, that was pretty good, right? I mean, did I not perform enough according to your standard? He who practices them shall live by them. This is Paul basically saying, good luck with that. Good luck with that. If you really think you're good enough, righteous enough, good luck with that. No, on the contrary, what the law simply does is reveal how much we are to be cursed and not blessed by God. And so this is how then Christ redeems us. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here's the statement. Having become a curse for us. Again, the Old Testament says, cursed is anyone who would hang on a tree, condemned, cursed by God. And on the cross, Jesus hung on a tree, condemned and cursed by God. Jesus wasn't blessed on the cross. Jesus was cursed on the cross. He became a curse because of our sin. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself your sin and my sin. And on the cross, Jesus became disobedience. Because I've hated people in my life, on the cross, Jesus became hate. And because I've been jealous and envious, on the cross, Jesus became envy and jealousy. And because I've abused people, Jesus became abuse. Because I've been wicked, and I've been wicked, Jesus became wicked. He became sin to the point where God cursed him on that cross. That is why when Jesus was hanging on that cross and God darkened the universe, our Savior cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you think he was just saying that? Or did he actually feel and experience being forsaken by God? He felt it. He knew in that moment what it felt like, what it was to be cursed. Isaiah 53 and 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. It pleased a holy God to curse and to crush his son on that cross. And he became a curse so that the curse might finally be removed from this world and removed from us. That's how we are redeemed. He wasn't blessed on the cross. Cursed. And he was cursed so that you would not have to be cursed by God. The blessing of salvation then comes to anyone who would place faith in Jesus. And just as Paul says, in order that Christ Jesus and those who are in Christ would receive the blessing of Abraham. That blessing that now has come to all of us, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When you place total faith in what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You are now identified with the covenant promise and blessings of Abraham, and you are free, my friend. You're set free. Free to do what? You're set free to obey. The Spirit of God will help you to love God. The Spirit of God will help you to be holy. And the Spirit of God will help you to love others. He sets you free to live a life of loving obedience. And there's nothing more free than loving obedience. And Christ became a curse so that you would experience that. Does God want to bless you? Oh, yes, he does. Can God bless you? Oh, no, he cannot. Not while your sin is still attached to you. No. If your sin is still attached to you, he cannot bless you. He can and will curse you. Well, can I receive the blessing? Oh, yes, you can. By faith in Jesus. Because on the cross, he became your curse. And in every way, he experienced the curse of God to set you free. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would do our best to find ourselves there at the cross. We would see your Son, our Savior, suffering and bleeding and dying. And that we would know that he did that. And he became our curse so that by his death we would be set free. Free to live and free to love and free to obey. And now, Father, we who are in Christ, we receive your Spirit and we ask for the blessing. Help us to live a life worthy of our calling. And if there's someone here today who has yet to receive that free gift of salvation, I pray that they would also find themselves there at the cross. But now, they would identify with Jesus' suffering and death and place faith in Jesus to receive the gift of salvation. Father, save anyone today who needs it. And Father, bless those who have received it. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.